IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. This is Viewpoints, an analysis on the thoughts and speeches of the leader of Islamic Ummah, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. With me in the studio are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Shaykh Rouhani and Sayyid Naghwi. Sayyid Naghwi, assalamu alaikum, welcome to the show.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah.
And Shaykh Rouhani, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Okay, for today's discussion, we want to talk about the concept of cultural attack or cultural invasion, which is, we can say, the attack against the Islamic values or the system of the values in a Muslim country. First, let's start with the definition of cultural invasion or cultural attack. What is it, Sayyid Mohsen?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, this concept of cultural invasion has come after the World War, which was basically when you want to invade a country, the concept was that you do not need to invade physically.
Okay.
Rather, you go in there, you change their culture, you change their mentality, and you make them someone who thinks like you, who dresses like you, who talks like you, and he is in line with you. When you can do this to any culture, actually you have invaded that country without having a physical, you know, appearance in that country.
Yes.
So when we talk about the cultural invasion, is that when someone's living style, his own culture, when people, they forget about that.
Yes.
So this becomes a cultural invasion.
And this could be against any type of culture?
Yes.
I mean, native culture, for example?
Any type of native cultural.
That's
cultures.
Right. That's right. Okay. So the global lifestyle, Shaykh Rouhani, has changed people very much the same. I mean, for example, when you look at the Japanese, the suits are very much the same like the Westerners. Even Iran nowadays, you know, the system of the wearing clothes or something like that. The Native Americans, or we could say the Indians, also Africans, they are following a kind of global lifestyle. Can we call this global lifestyle, which is very much rooted in the Western ideology and philosophy, a kind of cultural invasion or not?
Of course, why not? You know, if we,
okay.
Of course, if you go back, for example, to India or China or Japan or Africa, for example, some decades back, you see, of course, as you mentioned, the way of clothing. I mean, their culture was totally different as compared to now. And so if they changed in the course of time and now we have modern kind of culture in those countries, in those nations. And of course, it is the result of a kind of cultural attack or cultural invasion, we can say. This is what happened in this 21st century and 20th century. Yeah, this is the reality.
Yes.
We cannot.
This is not part, this is not, you believe, the part of natural, for example, development of human beings, for example,
no, never.
In modern day or 21st century.
No, I don't think so. You know, if for example, if India naturally developed, so they should develop their own values, their own cultural systems.
Okay.
Or, for example, for Muslims, for Iranian, you know, Iran is a very old nation.
Yes.
An old country.
Yes, the ancient country.
Of course, their culture is, again, a very powerful and strong culture.
Yes.
So if it naturally improved in the course of time, it should be an Iranian culture, not a westernized culture.
Yes.
So this is out of the, it is the result of that invasion or that attack.
That's right.
Before we go forward, we if you look at the, you know, even the definition of global arrogance, you'll find many writers who wrote that this global arrogance is a term which is used to describe the culture and economic hegemony of the United States over other countries. And on top of that, Thomas Friedman has remarked in 1999 that the global arrogance is when your culture and economic clots are so powerful and widely diffused that you do not need to occupy other people to influence their lives. So this is not something that has naturally we can say like has come like, or maybe people are changing their lifestyle. It is not the case.
Okay.
It is something which is plotted with the planning, with the strategies,
yes,
which were made, I said, like after the World War.
This is my main question. And what are the strategies? For example, we can say acting against the religious values of a country is the first one, whether it is, for example, Christianity or Judaism or, I don't know, Islam.
Yeah.
Okay.
There are two ways. Yeah, there are two ways. When we look at the French government, they have openly opposed the religious thoughts.
Yes.
For example, in Iran, there was hijab, putting on veils. They officially said to, you know, the king of the time, Reza Shah, to order everyone not to put veil. So this was an open, we can say, like opposing the religious...
Kashf-e hijab, you mean?
Kashf-e hijab,
unveiling the women, yes.
For example, when they were mourning in the month of Muharram, they stopped them from mourning in the month of Muharram. So this is one of the ways which we can see, which was not so, we can say, effective. The other way, the way America is doing.
Yes.
They make people secular. Mm-hmm. They say, religion is different from your life. So this secular thought...
But Said Mohsen, they say that America is more religion than some of the European countries.
Well, if religion
even, for
means...
example, their president has an oath of allegiance on the Bible or something like that. So what is this type of religion?
Well, that's what I said. The secular religion, being a religious in a secular meaning, that, you know, you show that you're religious, but you're not religious.
Okay.
You don't give any attention towards the religion. For example, how many times the president of U.S. who have taken oath on Bible or something like that, how many Sundays he attended the church?
Okay.
You will see it rarely.
Even maybe the Republicans more than the Democrats.
Yes.
Okay.
So you see it rarely.
Okay.
You know? So this is the case. When you make everything secular, secular means like... everything is different from others. There is no role of religion in your life.
Mm-hmm.
So when you take out religion, and let me just give this example. Generally, we give this example in our own language, like Urdu when we talk. Maybe in Persian it is also. You know, when we want to make a bread, we, you know, mix it with the water.
Yes.
And we put some salt in it in order to make some taste, to build some taste.
Okay.
So generally, the other things of life in religion should be equal to the salt that we mix into that, you know, mixture of the like the wheat and the water.
You mean they must find a taste?
Yeah, this is the taste.
Taste.
Whereas the religion has become the salt right now in our lives.
Okay.
It's just a taste.
Yes.
You know, for change of taste, we go to mosque for prayer.
Yes.
Juma prayer, for example.
Okay.
Or there are many people who just read the Eid prayers on the day of Eid every year, and they have nothing to do with the religion for the rest of their life.
That's for the rest of their lives.
For the rest of their life.
That's right. Okay. That's all right. Okay, Sheikh, even the educational system, you know, and the books which are taught at the universities and the schools in terms of the content are very much different from the past decades in so many countries. It seems that the Western values found their way into the education and educational system of so many Muslim lands too, isn't it?
Yes, of course. You know, this modern system itself is problematic for the Muslims.
Okay.
If you want to be a true Muslim, really, honestly, if you want to be a true Hindu, a true Buddhist, I don't know, a true Jew, a true Christian, you know, this kind of modern systems, which are based on certain kind of modern, let's say, secular or something like values or kind of atheism is behind this, humanism is behind this, or human centrism is behind this, philosophically talking. That's why this system is problematic, first of all. So then the outcome of these modern systems is not in line with the interests of the believers of the, let's say, Islamic culture. That's why we see that the engineers, the perfect, the, let's say the professional and expert engineers, when they are graduated from these modern systems, they go to the US, they go to Europe, they serve for them, these, let's say, countries and for their factories and companies. They do not stay in their own countries. They do not, let's say, serve for their own people. They do not help their own people because their mindset is changed.
Yes.
What they are looking for is those things that rely in in those countries and those, let's say, companies and factories. You know, this is the problem that nowadays we have. And that is why we have to change these kind of systems. We have to, let's say, bring about some kind of revolution in our educational systems from the school to the universities.
Yes.
Otherwise, the outcome of this system is this thing that's happening in our countries and our nations.
Now we are producing an English language program. Do you believe that, for example, English language, learning and teaching it is called a cultural invasion? So we are in the wrong ground now or not? Say it.
Well, it depends. If you use the books and material which are designed for the cultural invasion through English learning or like, you know, the process, then obviously, yes, it is. The reason I'm saying it is that if you go and look at the reason and aims and goals of the Oxford syllabus, which has been taught, which is taught like in the whole world, like in Pakistan, in other countries.
Yes.
The aim and goals of developing Cambridge syllabus for the schools.
Okay.
When you go and find out, it is all to take your own culture to these countries. That was the main goal. And therefore, they are conveying their own message through this syllabus.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first thing.
Yes.
The second thing is, obviously, when someone wants to have the invasion, like the cultural invasion, we have seen that, especially against Islam, that is the main point, because we are living in a Muslim country. Yes. And Islamophobia. You know, in the movies, if you see the movies in late 60s, maybe 70s, 80s, 90s, whenever they wanted to show the Muslims, they used to show Arabs.
Yes.
As someone who does not know about the life, he is living backward life.
Barbaric. Yes.
Killing, I don't know, the pirates from the Arabs, maybe.
Yes, yes.
You know? So this was the picture, which they picturized about the Islam, the Muslim world.
Yes.
And later how they, you know, they did all those things. It end up to ISIS and Daesh.
Yes.
For example.
This is what Professor Edward Said, in his famous book, Orientalism, has pictured, that how Muslims and the Arabs were pictured in the Western,
media,
and how the Arabs and the Muslims themselves believed
the
picture. This is the sad part,
Because the Hollywood was, you know, a fame. It had a fame. Mm-hmm. And everyone wanted to watch the movies. So that was the best quality movies at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So they believed this.
Yes.
That was the main issue. The reality which is behind the revolution of the Islamic revolution in Iran is that Imam Khomeini never believed in this.
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference between, for example, we have Sir Sayyid Ahmad Khan in Pakistan.
Yes.
In Indo-Pak. He was one of the revolutionary guys, but he used to believe that the West is advanced, has advanced, and we need to reach to them. Whereas Imam Khomeini, when he came, he said, no, West is backward.
Mm-hmm.
The one who does not know where he came from, where he is, and where he wants to go, this person is a backward. He does not know where to go, where we as a Muslim know where we came from, where we are living right now, and where we will go. So there's a difference of ideology, and that made this Islamic revolution to, you know, to win, to basically have this victory in the time where we can see the whole world was against this revolution.
That's right. Okay. Thank you, my Sayyid Mohsen and Sheikh Rouhani, for nice explanations regarding the concept of cultural attack or invasion and how to oppose them based on the speeches of leader of Islamic Ummah, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. And thank you much, dear listeners, for listening to us. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.com/en/call of Islam page. Another episode. God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Say, please save me at كسبت الحبيب أمتي أمتي يقولها لنا يوم القيامة أمتي أمتي يقولها شفاعة أنا لها أنا لها